Jello Biafra. Which would you rather have? A pint of booze if you're a recovering alcoholic, or a pint of cacophony, no matter what or who you are?
Speak into the mic, bitch.
Say that into the microphone.
Keep on rocking in the free world, and I mean rock, not pop punk. Not indie poo. Not middle of the road, Miley Cyrus-y dreck.
You're a freak with a microphone.
Welcome to another episode of A Pint of Cacophony. My name is Dan Patridello. This is Skid Row Studios here, and I just want to see how everybody's fucking doing. How you doing, Alex?
Hey, dude.
My buddy Matt's here. How you doing?
Matt's
doing well,
back.
Thanks.
Oh, Matt's back.
Hey.
We had a whole farewell and everything. It was like when The Who in the 80s was like, this is our farewell, but it totally fucking wasn't.
This is not the Super Bowl reunion.
Got it.
Oh.
Got it. But we had a week off. We had a week off because of Labor Day. And in that week, like before that, we had Mac DeMarco was
yes,
on.
Mac DeMarco.
And holy crap, that blew up. We were on Pitchfork.
That was awesome.
Yeah, Pitchfork covered us. Consequence of Sound, Stereo Gum.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Yeah, thanks, Mac and his people, Michelle and Sarah and everybody that made that happen for us. Like, it was great stuff. And he covered an Angel Olsen song in here, and it was actually pretty beautiful.
Yeah, it was really good.
But So, last night, Alex and I were backstage in an art opening in Echo Park that was displaying cast or molds of famous rock star genitals. And we ran into Neil Young and Bob Dylan, actually, and we recorded this conversation they had about the Jennifer Lawrence nudes that got leaked.
Hey, Neil, how you doing?
Hey, Bob.
Did you see who's just like a woman? Yes, she is.
My, Jennifer Lawrence.
Go ahead, dude.
Are you talking about that one fine girl from Silver Linings Playbook?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, dude.
Yes, Neil. Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence, my.
Yeah, man. I was home, and John is in the basement jacking off to Jennifer Lawrence.
I think we have another guy right next to us.
These times, they are changing. I want warm, hairy bush days. But it seems like Tom Waits is here.
Hey, Tom.
I don't know about you guys, but I got the strangest swordfish trombone.
Wow, that was really good harmonica playing, dude. I'm sorry, dude. I lost my script.
You fucking prick.
I'm sorry. I was trying to wing it, and I lost it. So
it's 2 pages.
I can't even believe it, Alex.
I'm sorry. Hey, but that was really good Tom Waits.
Wow. Good job, Matt.
Took me 3 months to get it. That's why I'm back.
Nice.
This first song we're going to play is Death Valley Girls.
Excited to go to Bloomington.
Is that where you're gonna sit?
I'm driving. Where else would I sit?
Trunk.
We'll be right back.
left me sad and blue and two and you and shoe and boob.
Yeah. curious linkages here. The word linkage reminds me of sausage. Never cared much for the links, preferred the patties. But breakfast is a real good idea. Bonsai. Remember those old World War II movies? Bonsai!
Dude, I had the craziest night. Things got totally out of hand. I got super wasted and I don't remember what happened. All I remember is seeing those flashing red and blue lights behind me. Now I'm looking at a DUI.
Aw, man, that's gonna cost so much money. How are you gonna pay for that?
Getting in trouble with the law is never an easy thing to deal with. The constant stress over how to get past your sticky situation doesn't always have to completely overcome you. Attorney Alexander Fuque focuses on DUI and criminal defense. He will help your case with less of a headache. Contact Alexander Fuque at Fuque Law Center if you are facing any criminal arrest charges. And we're talking any. He can help. If your case is drug-related, a DUI, or you've been charged with something more serious, no problem. Just visit his website at www.fuquelawcenter.com or call 626-385-8840. The Fuque Law Center serves anywhere in California, including Los Angeles, San Diego, and Orange County.
In a remote African jungle, a small monkey is captured, bound for a pet store in America. The animal carries a vicious virus known as... Retox.
Now, I know that some of us have doubts about what we're going to do. We'd be less than human if we didn't. But the fate of the nation, perhaps the world, is in our hands. We cannot, we dare not, refuse this burden. I'm confident that each of you will do his duty. God forgive us.
Your town is quarantined.
We got 19 that actually give a shit. We got 100 more infected. It's spreading like a wildfire.
People are starting to actively attempt to positively change the world.
What are you talking about?
From the heart of a California city to the inner circle of a power in Washington.
The most optimistic projection of the spread of the Retox virus is this. 24 hours, 36 hours, and at 48 hours, the entire country is converted to progressive thinking.
The greatest medical crisis of all time.
We can't stop it.
Begins.
Many people are losing their narcissistic tendencies, and they will only continue to take selfies unless we find this monkey.
See the Retox take over in Outbreak, the Retox Virus.
Welcome back to A Pint of Cacophony. My name is Dan Patrinello. Oh, man, that was a trailer for... Michael Crane is with me. How are you?
Hey.
Did you hear that trailer for you guys' band?
Yeah, what was that? I was like, what the hell is a Retox virus?
It was our take on Outbreak, the movie with Dustin Hoffman.
I don't know if I've ever seen that. With Dustin Hoffman?
Yeah, it's like these monkeys bring this virus into the world that just takes over the United States. And the government's like, we're going to firebomb like half of the country to save the world. And Dustin Hoffman's like, no ways. We can fix this.
Is it an 80s movie?
I think it's in the 90s. I don't know. The movie's not really that important. How are you doing?
I'm all right, man.
Yeah?
Just, you know, doing my thing. Fucking living. I don't know.
So what's Retox up to these days, currently?
We just finished tracking our new LP about 2 weeks ago. And so that took up a huge chunk of our time and our lives, obviously.
What was that
writing,
like?
Writing and rehearsing. And
right on.
Rewriting and then getting in the studio for 5 days and knocking that out. So that was definitely the priority and everything. And now just getting ready for some more dates and that split 7-inch release with Narrows.
Oh, it's awesome with Narrows. Retox musically started off raw, crude, and like a caveman, and then gradually became more polished, like on YPLL, which we played earlier last time you were here. Was that a calculated was that a calculated decision, or did you guys just naturally subconsciously evolve into that?
I think it was more or less the producer, you know, who we worked with.
Right.
That his particular sound was more polished and everything, and that's just how it turned out. And this last one, the one we just recorded, is definitely not so polished.
Right.
It's way more crude, I would say. It sounds fucking rad. It sounds tough as nails.
So would you say from like the writing room to the, like we're tracking this for the final, it was a way shorter time span than the last time?
Yeah, definitely. We were only in the studio for 5 days. Like Brian and Keith, the drums and bass were done in a little more, like 24 hours. They were already done. So, yeah. And then I think only a couple of the songs, let me think about that, had been written for a while.
Right.
We were playing them out. Actually, two of the songs we'd played out before.
And everything else was just fresh.
Yeah, the other ones were all just freshly written.
That's sick, man. So how many tracks are we looking at?
12.
12 tracks. And when do we get to see it?
That's a good question. Oh, I think we're shooting, I think it's like January 27th-ish, mm-hmm. the street day. But I posted it. It's like a short video, a Instagram video of us when we were mixing, or I don't remember what we were, no, not even mixing. It's only like 8 seconds, obviously, of one of the songs. But that's on our Facebook page or whatever, if anyone's curious. Not that 8 seconds will tell you much, but.
We'll find it and we'll share it on our sources. I feel like it's going to be like a little teaser everybody needs.
Totally.
You guys are constantly on the road and playing with different bands on your own. What does touring and being on stage mean to you, Michael?
Touring and being on stage?
Yeah.
Touring means I'm not going to be getting a lot of sleep or eating that great for a long time.
Uh-huh.
But it's still, I don't know what it is. It's like something, I don't know. It might be a curse or just something you're born into, some weird curse you're born with that you are going to just go on tour and you're used to it and you don't know how not to do it.
Right.
Even though you know it's probably not that great for you. And being on stage is just essentially like telling a story.
Mm-hmm.
It's where we just get to, I don't know, it's where we get to display the art.
That's great, man.
And connect with people.
Right, right.
And that's one of the best parts for sure.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you giving us a call. Michael Crane from Retox. We're going to talk to Justin from the band a little later too, and we're going to play a bunch more Retox. And it was great having you in. It was great having you in here last time you were here, and this time talking to you. Hope all is well, man.
What's that?
I said hope all is well.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. Thank you. I appreciate it. Did you guys ever get air conditioning in that fucking place?
Yeah, dude. Actually, things have upgraded. We have an air conditioner in the control room and another air conditioner in the actual studio where you were sweating your balls off in.
That's awesome.
Like, I am not even close to sweating right now. It's perfect. I wish you were sitting in front of me so you can experience it.
Dude, you guys are totally fucking coming up. Next thing you know, you'll be moving closer to Skid Row. Proud of you guys. Really proud of you guys.
Oh, thanks, man. It means a lot. We're proud of you too, man. Just keep up the fucking tunes so we can still keep rocking out.
For sure, man. Well, that... oh, yeah, and I'm sure Justin will tell you. The name of the new LP is Beneath California.
Beneath California.
And, that'll be around soon.
So. We're going to be on top of it, and everybody can totally keep up right here on Pint of Cacophony. Thanks a lot, Michael.
Yeah, for sure. I'll be in there then, probably. See you guys soon.
Hell yeah. So we're going to go into Retox right now. You have a good night, man.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, peace, brother.
Put up a fight.
Shut the fuck up, it's Retox!
We'll be right back.
sorry I said you were lame, okay? You are, but...
He's having an affair with your wife. I don't think we should talk about it. Does your pet kill them?
Oh, man. Oh, God. Oh, man. Oh, God. Oh, man. Oh, God. Oh, man. Oh, God. Oh, man. Oh, God.
Roll it.
When I'm thirsty, the only thing that quenches my thirst is a cold Retox.
Retox? What's Retox?
Fuck Gatorade. The only thing with enough electrolytes to refuel this body is Retox.
Shit, dog. Grab the new Retox, available wherever shit like Powerade is sold.
African jungle, a small monkey is captured, bound for a pet store in America. The animal carries a vicious virus known as Retox.
Now I know that some of us have doubts about what we're gonna do. We'd be less than human if we didn't. But the fate of the nation, perhaps the world, is in our hands. We cannot, we dare not, refuse this burden. I'm confident that each of you will do his duty. God forgive us.
Your town is quarantined!
We got 19 that actually give a shit. We got 100 more infected. It's spreading like a wildfire. People are starting to actively attempt to positively change the world.
What are you talking about?
From the heart of a California city to the inner circle of a power in Washington.
The most optimistic projection of the spread of the Retox virus is this. 24 hours, 36 hours, and at 48 hours, the entire country is converted to progressive thinking.
The greatest medical crisis of all time.
We can't stop it.
Begins.
Many people are losing their narcissistic tendencies, and they will only continue to take selfies unless we find this monkey.
See the Retox take over in Outbreak, the Retox Virus.
Welcome back to A Pint of Cacophony. My name is Dan Patchadillo. Here we are at Skid Row Studios. I got Justin Pearson on the line. How are you doing, man?
Good. Good. Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. That was a really amusing little piece there.
Did you recognize what movie that was supposed to be?
It's Bill and Ted's, right?
Close. It's actually Outbreak with a Dustin Hoffman.
Oh. Sorry, it sounded their tonality sounded like Bill and Ted's.
It's cool. Michael didn't know what movie we were trying to reference either, so it's fine.
I missed Outbreak, so I guess that's my part of my problem.
No, it's all good, man. So how are you doing? Like, what's Retox up to now?
We are, well, I'm still tracking vocals to a new album. I'm about halfway done. And I don't know. We're just, yeah, working on a new album, I guess. About to go on tour in October.
That's awesome. That's what Michael was saying. So where are you guys starting off and where are you going?
We start off in San Diego and just go up the coast to Seattle and then back down to Los Angeles.
So do you, when's the L.A. date?
I don't know off the top of my head. I think there's like an L.A. proper and then there's two Orange County or like a some sort of like in the vicinity of Los Angeles. So I'm not sure which is which. I'm just trying to get through this month, to be honest.
we'll figure it out and we'll announce the shit out of it.
Okay.
So,
sorry for,
no, no worries. In the YPLL documentary, you said, you kind of have to ruin your life to be in a punk band. What did you really mean by that?
It's a little bit tongue in cheek. It's obvious. It's very.
Which is cool. I dig that. Mean, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the whole thing. Like, kind of like I'll kind of trip out. Like when I go, like to my my grandma's house or something, and my cousins are there, and they're like, oh, you know, we have like, you know, 8 kids, and we have this like BMW station wagon, and you know, we work in this cubicle.
The American dream.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, cool. I hustle, you know, and I have like a little bit of cash in a credit union and no financial stability whatsoever. So hey, I guess I fucked up or messed up, you know, like I should have got it together for you know, some kind of like longevity, but instead, you know, I kept like. When I was a lot younger and sort of like starting to tour a lot, I kept having to, you know, obviously when I was in high school, I would tour, you know, during the summer or winter break. And then when I started going to community college, mm-hmm. I just found myself dropping out all the time because I'd be like, oh, I have to go on this tour. And so I can't go.
Yeah, you miss like half a semester or a quarter or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And then so that, you know, in a sense, you know, I was never able to like, you know, sort of like prepare or steer myself for a career, you know, and I still haven't won the lottery yet and stuff. So it's like, I'm kind of trying to figure out and my life's not ruined. I've been all over the world. I've done all kinds of really awesome stuff that I'm proud of and things that I think are, you know, relevant and important to me and to my sanity and stuff like that. So it's not like that. It is a little bit of a joke, but in some sense, I guess, you know, oh yeah, I ruined my life. Cause I played in a you know, a punk band. So, yeah.
Right on. That's very intriguing. Justin, you've said before that publications always ask you what your influences are, but the bigger thing is, why are you influenced to listen to that kind of music? So here's your chance. What do you think drew you to your influences, whether it was Cash or hardcore or metal?
What do you mean by Cash? Like Johnny Cash?
Yeah, yeah. Like anybody.
Okay. I don't, you know, it's like, I think my musical, influences are like on this huge, broad spectrum of stuff, you know, and it's like, someone always says like, what do you like? What kind of music do you like? And,
right.
You know, and it's so stupid or not stupid, but like kind of boring to just say like, I like a little bit of everything, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
And it's true. I do like some of everything, but I only like the best of everything. You know, I mean, there's not like a genre or a style of music that I don't appreciate if it's really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And so more so though, I think like, you know, for myself or what influences me to do what I do musically, it's not, I mean, if someone said like, what hardcore bands do you listen to? I'd be like, well, to be honest, there's, you know, I could probably count the ones that are together on one hand and maybe the ones that I've listened to in my entire life and really would cite as an influence on two hands, you know? So it's like, I really think, what's more important is why I got into that stuff. And, you know, a lot of it's, you know, it sounds like sort of cliche or like, you know, like, oh, you know, troubled, childhood or like a broken family or, you know, whatever. But it's just like, you know, I don't know. When I grew up, I realized like that, you know, I was interested in certain elements of the world we live in, certain social elements and things of that nature, where I feel like a lot of people just never really cared or, you know, they were like kind of concerned with like having like themed parties or something, or like, let's have a white trash party with corn dogs. And it's like, you know what? Like I grew up and I only ate corn dogs, like, cause I couldn't afford it, you know? Like, so it was like, kind of like, it's kind of an interesting perspective on to think about like why you were like you were, or why you were into the things you were into. Because I remember, you know, being 15 and 16 years old and going on tour and playing music and starting a band and being super pissed off, you know, like, oh my God, there's all these injustices in the world and all these things happening. And, I, you know, and I would turn to like my schoolmates, you know, and they were really just concerned on what to do on a Friday and Saturday night, you know, and like getting drunk at a park or something. I'm like, that's boring. Like, what about like, you know, when I was growing up, there was like the Rodney King riots and things like that. That was, you know, in the first Gulf War. And it's like, man, there's like crazy stuff happening in the world. And people's perception were so, sort of small minded, you know, and no disrespect to them. And that's, you know, their whatever their DNA made up. And
right. At a certain point, it's just the way of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just, I figured out like these certain things and I got into this certain stuff and then that was that, you know, and, you know, and also within that too, I mean, I think like, it's kind of funny to like, I tend to cite my mother as an influence and it's weird because part of it is I cite her as an influence because she's like a pretty righteous woman and a very strong willed woman. Mm-hmm. And so that would be, you know, I think she's a very progressive human being, a very caring human being. And so that would be like one element of why she is an influence. And the other thing is because she was like, you're going to get into drugs if you listen to this and don't, you know, this is garbage music and, you know, like broke my records and shit like that. And like, so then I was like, all right, well then I'm going to get into it even more. So that was also an influence too, you know, and before my dad died, like my dad was like, you know, if you listen to the Sex Pistols, you're going to be a drug addict like Sid Vicious. And I was like, dude, I don't even care about Sid Vicious. Like, I think, you know, I always thought like, Johnny Rotten's way cooler. And on top of that, like, I'm going to, you know, and I'm like, I don't want to do drugs. I just want to like, you know, have like weird hair and like weird music. And, you know, I got into like the, you know, the cultural relevance of a lot of that stuff at the time. And so that was really my influence, you know?
Right, exactly. That's awesome. So well, let's go deep real quick. Like, what does music and all that, like, really mean to you?
Well, virtually, like, an impossible question to answer because, you know, I mean, you could say one, you know, like, thing, like, oh, it's life, you know, and, like, it's everything, and that is sort of accurate, you know, and then, you know, and the other thing is like we could go and like, you know, use a, you know, like fine tune everything and go like, this is, you know, these are like the, you know, the 175 different reasons why music is, you know, important. And then, you know, and we'd be here all night talking about it. So it's like, I don't know. I mean, I just think, and also I don't think all music is the same and all art is not the same. And I think that it's, I think for me, like with, you know, the stuff that I'm part of, not even like the stuff that I do, but just the stuff that I'm part of are the world of music that I've been exposed to directly, is more than just music. It's there's a lot more to it. You know, it's a sense of community, a sense of communication.
Right. And the culture behind it and everything.
Totally. You know, because a lot of it, I don't want to be negative, but you know, there's a lot of bands you could think of in the mainstream that I feel like there is no real substance to it. You know, I wish I could remember the names of these bands, but like I remember being on tour in Atlanta and my buddy John from Daughters was tour managing this band that was just insane. And or actually he was tour managing a band that was opening for this other band that was just insane. And they had like choreographed dancing and they were like, they had the hair and the matching everything. And that's fine. You know, it was sort of like this more modern day, Poison, but it was like metalcore, you know, or something. their whole thing was like, you know, like hooking up with chicks after the shows, and that's fine for them, you know, but I was like, damn, dude, what, like, they're so mad and pissed off, and at the same time, they look so cool, and they have, like, you know, these really interesting dances, they're, you know, very homoerotic, and, like, you know, and then there's all these, like, 14-year-old girls, like, you know, literally throwing their panties at them, you know, it's like, whoa, what the hell, you know, so, you know, music is something to everyone, and it's different, you know, to each person, so I don't know, I mean, the stuff I would identify with you know, the stuff that I cut my teeth on and the stuff that I still do cut my teeth on, the stuff that I still do respect and appreciate is just something that's sincere and something relevant and interesting and progressive, you know?
No, I do know exactly. That's awesome. I love the way you put all of it. Beneath California is the new thing you're working on, right, with Retox?
Oh, so Mike said it. Okay, yeah, that is. Yeah.
All right, so just to keep up with that, how do we do that while we wrap this up? Like, when do we all get to know, like, when that's going to come out and when we can actually, like, put it to our ears?
I to be honest, I don't know off the top of my head. Mike is the one that sorted out the release date. And so, I mean, for me, it's just like I'm trying to get back into the studio to finish up these last few tracks with the vocals, and then it goes on to our producer to finish mixing, and it's going to be handed in by this certain deadline. I think it's the end of this month or the end of next month or something, and then that's it, you know. I mean, then it goes into the hands of the label, and they press it, and it'll hit the street date, you know. And I mean, I think we'll probably announce it online, and so will the label as soon as we turn in the record, as soon as everyone can kind of realize, like, oh yeah, it's done. This is right, you know.
Right on. Well, I can't wait to touch base with you at that point. It's going to be great.
Cool.
We can't look.
Thank you so
we
much.
Can't like wait to look forward to that. That's awesome. Thanks for touching base with us tonight again. We've talked to you like a few times over the span of the show. You've been with us since like day one almost.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Of course, thank you definitely for spending time here and letting us spin your tracks because they're fucking awesome.
Thank you so much.
All right, man. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, cool. Take care.
All right, later. So bye. This is Constant bye. Levers here on A Pint of Cacophony. I saw them open for the Murder City Devils at the Glass House in Pomona, and that shit was insane.
Nice, man.
Yeah, it was cool.
You know, I think I'm just gonna hang out here with you guys, if that's cool.
It's not.
Oh, wake up early, sleep, walk into the training.
put up a fight.
Shut the fuck up, it's Retox!
Man, what's your problem?
Can you believe it? I got fired. I've had this job for years, and out of nowhere they tell me to pack up and leave. I don't get it. I don't deserve this, and I need this income.
Really? That doesn't sound right, man. You need to do something about this. You need to get someone to help you fight this.
Imagine losing your job for something out of your control or being harassed at work. In this economy, we depend so heavily on our sources of income. Getting it taken away from us for wrongful reasons is devastating. If you've been wrongfully terminated from your job, call attorney Alexander Fuque at Fuque Law Center. He'll fight for you. Contact by phone at 626-385-8840 or visit his website at www.fuquelawcenter.com. Fuque Law Center serves anywhere in California, including Los Angeles, San Diego, and Orange County.
Welcome back to Pint of Cacophony. My name is Dan Patrinello, and this is Skid Row Studios. Just wanted to say thank you to Michael Crane and Justin Pearson from Retox for giving us a little chat about Beneath California, their new release. Coming up soon, we're going to find the details on that and leak it all over you guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
But fucking first off here, Alex forgot his script in the opening of this shit, and I'm really pissed off about it.
I'm sorry. I'm fucking sorry.
No, you forgot your shit.
It was a long day.
And during the break, I walked out. I walked out into the green room, and it was sitting right there on the fucking couch.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So we're going to do it. And we're going to do it again. Right.
Please, let the listeners know what happened. What's going on?
Last night, Alex and I were backstage in an art gallery in Echo Park that was displaying castor molds of famous rock star genitalias. And we ran into Neil Young and Bob Dylan, and we recorded a conversation they had about the Jennifer Lawrence nudes that just got leaked. Hey, Neil, how you doing?
Hey, Bob.
Did you see who is just like a woman? Yes, she is.
Are you talking about that one fine girl from Silver Linings Playbook?
Yes, dear. Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, man, she's fine.
Yeah, man, I was home, and John is in the basement jacking off to Jennifer Lawrence.
I've seen the nepo and the damage done.
These times are changing. I miss warm Harry Bush days.
Me too, I second that.
God, Neil. What an age we live in. Tom Waits, what about you?
I don't know about you guys, but I got the funniest swordfish trombone.
Oh,
Thank you.
Oh, you fucking finally.
Thank you. I think we nailed it, guys.
Yeah, I think we got it.
I think we got it.
Oscars. Well done. Oscars. All right, follow us on Instagram at A Pint of Cacophony. Follow us on Twitter at Pint of Cacophony without the A. And we're on Facebook at A Pint of Cacophony. Just, we're going to be here next week, and we got Xander from the Circle Jerks and Sean and Xander, and it's going to be phenomenal. And again, we're going to keep you up to date about the new Beneath California from Retox, and it's going to be sweet. Just want to say thanks to Michael Crane and Justin Pearson again. Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Now fuck off and die.